Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast, where healthcare meets business, with your host, me, Dr. Karen Litzy. And just as a reminder, the information in this podcast is for entertainment purposes only and is not to be used as personalized medical advice. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast. I am your host, Karen Litzy. And before we get to today's episode, I'd like to take a moment to highlight our sponsor, Jane. So if you are at CSM, Combined Sections Meeting, which is a large physical therapy meeting in Boston last week, you might have seen Jane in the exhibit hall. I was there with them for part of the day on Friday. And you guys, I have to say, everyone that came up to the booth that is a Jane user, one of the things they said when they first came up was, "Oh my goodness, I love using Jane," which is kind of unusual when you think about it for an EMR, but everyone loved Jane. And one of the things that they really liked is that it's easy, right? So Jane is a complete practice management software. So it's easy to book, chart, bill, and get paid all online. And notice I said get paid. So the team at Jane knows that getting paid is one of, if not the most important parts of running your practice. With that in mind, they've created a fully integrated PCI compliant payment solution called Jane Payments that makes for a convenient online payment experience for you and your patients. I will second that. My patients love it. They say, "Oh my gosh, this is so much easier than what they were doing in the past." With Jane Payments, you can collect credit card info through your online booking or intake forms, send one-click payment request emails or SMS for outstanding balances, and you'll never need to leave Jane to reconcile payments. Curious to learn more? Head to jane.app/payments. That's jane.app/payments. You can also use the code LITZY1MO, that's LITZY, the number one, M as in Mary O, at the time of sign up for a 1 month grace period on your new Jane account, a small gift from Jane to you. And if you have any questions about Jane, feel free. You could shoot me a DM at Karen Litzy on Instagram, or you can reach me through the podcast website, which is in the show notes, as well as a link to Jane. So wherever you're listening to this, just go down to the show notes. One click will take you right to Jane for more information. And now on to today's episode. Everyone, please enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Smart podcast. I am your host, Dr. Karen Litzy, owner of Karen Litzy Physical Therapy, located in New York City. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking mainly about remote therapeutic monitoring. What is it? Why would you want to do it if you're a physical therapist? So if you have your questions and you're curious about what this is, you have come to the right place. My guest today is Vikram Setharaman. He is the founder and CEO of PT Wired, a 100% custom branded mobile app service for physical therapy practices. PT Wired is a patient engagement solution that helps physical therapy clinics prevent patient dropout, improve patient satisfaction, and boost revenue through, you guessed it, remote therapeutic monitoring. So Vikram, thank you for coming on the program. I'm happy to have you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Karen.
All right, so we're going to dive right in. Please explain to the listeners what their remote therapeutic monitoring is.
Sure. So remote therapeutic monitoring, as it relates to PT, are basically a set of CPT codes that were introduced in at the beginning of 2021, or they went, you know, they became active January 1, 2022. And these codes are basically for services that the providers and the clinics provide in between clinic visits, called these remote therapeutic monitoring services. And we can kind of run through the codes one by one, but the general concept is that, you know, when a patient is in between visits, that's when they're the most likely to disengage from their care, feel like they don't, you know, they don't have the support, the guidance, the instruction that they need to really engage with their rehab to the level that they need to meet their goals. And that was kind of the origin of remote therapeutic monitoring, is not only a way to engage a patient in between visits when they're most likely to drop out, they're most likely to feel like that like PT isn't working for them, but then also compensate the providers for the time that they're spending in between these clinic visits, engaging with patients when they are more likely to drop out and to have these poorer outcomes. So that's RTM at a high level.
Okay, so let's go in a little deeper then. So when we're talking about remote therapeutic monitoring, can you give examples of what that might look like from the provider to the patient?
Sure. So the easiest way to break this down is there's two sets of codes. There's patient usage-based codes, which are based on the patient's engagement with the system, the RTM system, and then there's the provider usage-based codes, which is based on the provider's time that they're spending on the system as well as engaging with the patient. So if we start on the patient side, the patient basically needs to be using a remote therapeutic monitoring device. This could be an app. This could be something that tracks, some part of their rehab, and there's a lot of different options for that. Obviously, us at PT Wired, we provide an app that tracks the patient's improvement, their exercise completion, a lot of other things. But there needs to be some type of data collection from whatever system that they're using. And on the patient usage-based code side, the patient basically needs to have a certain amount of days where data is collected for us to be able to bill for that code. And the threshold there is 16 days of a 30-day period. There needs to be some type of data collected. And we can dig into that a bit deeper in a moment, but that's it at a kind of a high level. That there's basically the level to which the patient needs to engage for those codes. The other codes are the provider based the provider time code, where basically the provider's time for either setting up the patient, reviewing the data in between those clinic visits, reaching out to the patient in between those clinic visits, including one live interaction, which is usually a call, the time that they're spending, that's what contributes to those codes, so those provider usage-based codes. So that's again kind of still at a pretty high level. We can talk about the very specific requirements for each code. But that's how it kind of breaks down the patient usage-based side and then the provider usage-based side.
Okay, so let's break it down even more. So we had like our 30,000 foot view. Now we're at our 10,000, maybe 15,000 point view. So let's go down into the nitty-gritty so that listeners will have a better understanding of what these codes are and if and how they can use them with their patients.
Sure. So we'll start on the patient usage-based side and we'll get into the weeds now. So the first code is 98975, which is the setup code. And that basically means the patient has been set up on the device. So in our case, it would be they've been set up on the app, they've downloaded the app, they've opened the app for the first time. And then 16 days later, you can bill that code. That's usually, obviously, this depends on your region, but usually that comes out to about $20 of reimbursement. The next patient usage-based code is 98977. That's the 16 days out of a 30-day period where we collect some type of data from the patient. And that will typically be paid out at about $55. That's usually the highest paying code. And that could be, and if we break down what actually that means in terms of data that's collected, that could be exercise adherence data. That could be outcome reports in terms of the patients, reporting that they're having issues. Those are the types of things that could be a number of steps that the patient took, that data. The whole concept is that any data that we can collect from the patient through this device, through the app, that then the provider can use to impact their clinical decision making in terms of what they then decide to do at the next visit based on the data that they were monitoring in between visits. The biggest thing that I would like to point out about those two codes, people have been setting up patients on home exercise programs for years and years and years. For those two specific codes, there's absolutely nothing that's different from what somebody had been doing in the past for being able to bill those codes. As long as you have a system that can keep track of the requirements, the provider experience is 100% the same in terms of like creating a home exercise program and then being able to track the adherence and track the progress of the patient in between those clinic visits. Do those two make sense?
Yes, that makes perfect sense. So you just need to have some sort of app or something to pull the data that the patient is actually doing the exercise program. So you can't just ask the patient, are you doing it? And they say yes. You need to have some specific data that the patient is logging in, they're clicking that yes, they're doing these exercises. Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. Yeah, it has
Okay.
to be data that's collected by the device.
Okay.
And yeah, so as long as you have a system that will be able to collect that data and then also track those requirements so we can see that 60 out of 30 days, then you should absolutely be billing these codes.
Okay, great. And so they would be, like you said, the patient usage codes.
Correct.
Okay,
So the
next.
pro yep. So the next two are the provider usage-based codes. The first one is 98980, and that's typically paid out at about $50. $50. And that's for the first 20 minutes of RTM managed services time per calendar month, including one live patient interaction. So what does that mean? First, actually, let's actually start with the one live patient interaction. So this needs to be one synchronous call with the patient. At some point during the calendar month. So this could be a check-in call. It could be, right after their first eval. It could be a couple weeks later. Doesn't matter, but it has to be a live synchronous call. It can't be a voicemail. It can't be a text message. It has to be like
Okay.
we're on the call right now where it's
Yeah.
both people on the line. There's no minimum time limit for this. So this could be a 1 minute call or it could be a 20 minute call, but it has to be part of the 20 minute total that's accumulated to build a code.
Okay.
So the remaining 20 minutes is for everything else that's involved with the RTM program. So creating the home exercise programs, editing the home programs, reviewing the data in between visits, making some type of clinical assessment based on that data, all that time accumulated over the month is contributing to that 20 minutes. So let's say, for
Okay.
example, a patient comes in twice a week. Every week or every visit, you spend a couple minutes updating their home program. All those minutes are added up over the course of the calendar month. And then, as long as you have one live call and then the total exceeds 20 minutes or is at least 20 minutes, then you can bill that code.
Okay. So is that the only provider code or is there another one?
Yep. So there's one more. It's 98981. And that's just for additional 20 minutes of RTM time.
Got
So
it.
there's no difference really, other than that it's just for the next set of 20 minutes, and it's paid out a little bit lower. It's about like $40 per code.
Okay. So if you're the provider and you're doing this, can you bill all four codes at once? Or like what is best practice for when it comes to remote therapeutic monitoring?
Yeah, so this can depend a lot. First thing is best practices. Use a system that tracks it for you, because if you kind of track this manually, the ROI can be a bit maybe not worth it, because it can take a lot of time to track all these requirements to ensure you're being compliant. So if you have a system that kind of automatically tracks it, then that'll take care of all of that for you. But as far as the billing goes, this can depend a lot in terms of what billing system you use, what insurance it is, and whether it's Medicare, whether it's commercial, a lot of these things can impact how you bill these codes. We would probably need a whole other podcast episode just on that to get into all of those. So, one thing we typically do is when we first set up a group on PT Wired, on our first training session, we'll run through their payer mix. We'll run through our recommendations for how to bill for each of those payers, because it really can depend. Just as kind of an example, with these codes, these are for services provided outside of visits, but to bill these codes on the overwhelming majority of systems, you have to attach them to visits to actually submit
Right.
them. So that can create a complication where, okay, do I attach it to the next visit? Like, let's say that a code becomes eligible to be billed today, but then, do I bill this for the patient's next visit? Do I attach it to the previous visit and create an addendum? Do I create a quote unquote RTM visit, which is not an actual visit, but then just a visit for the purpose of billing these codes? There's actually advantages and disadvantages to all three of those, and the correct answer will depend on the payer, as well as the payer rules, as well as just the situation in terms of when the patient is or isn't coming in with those next visits. And that's the kind of thing on a, you know, one of those training calls, we'd be able to explain based on each of those payers that the people have what the best approach would be.
And what if you strictly bill out of network? So you're not cash based, but you're out of network. The patient met their deductible and now you're billing out of network. Can you bill RTM out of network?
Yeah, so again, it can kind of depend plan by plan. You know, for a lot of this, unfortunately, there's not kind of a catch-all answer except for with Medicare. And we're seeing these types of things change on a month-by-month basis with plans picking up these codes. Obviously, these codes are, you know, by and large still pretty new, even though it's been around over a year now, but still in the grand scheme of things, not that old of codes. So you know, it can really just depend.
Got it. Got it. Okay. So I'm an owner. I have different insurance mixes. I've set up a system to utilize remote therapeutic monitoring. I started billing. What are the pitfalls? What are things that I could possibly miss?
Yeah, there's two big ones that stick out by far for a lot of people. The first one is that there's often a big gap, or well, not often, but sometimes there's a big gap between the patients who are eligible for RTM and the patients who actually get enrolled for RTM. So they actually get set up on whatever system and flagged as an RTM patient. And that is a provider education piece. So the provider needs to, first of all, be using the system. And second of all, they should know when to actually enable somebody as an RTM patient, which means they have to have an understanding of, okay, if it's a Medicare patient, I should enable it. Medicare Advantage, I should enable it. And then also know based on their state and their plans, which commercial payers are going to be paying for RTM. On our end, what we can do is we can run a quick report to tell you these are the total number of active patients for these providers. And then if you have in your EMR system the same ability, which a lot of EMR systems do, to run a report of active patients for the RTM reimbursing plans, we can create an easy comparison there to see, okay, this is the difference between enrolled and active or eligible to be enrolled. That's the first one. The second one that we see is that sometimes there's a big gap between codes that are eligible to be billed and the codes that are actually submitted. So this is kind of the worst thing, right? Because they do all the work. They you know, have all the money just right there on the table, and then it doesn't actually get submitted. And there's a lot of reasons for this. It could be process related in terms of, you know, some people not knowing who's actually going to be submitting the RTM codes, if it's going to be one pinpoint person handling RTM, or if it's going to be every provider handling the RTM codes for each of their patients. And you know, so that's another thing where on our end we can do a report of what you're eligible to be billed, and if you can do a report in your billing system of what was actually coded, then we can quickly compare there to see if there was any money left on the table. Those are the two biggest issues that we see.
Yeah, so there are some insurance companies that will allow for remote therapeutic monitoring and some that won't.
Correct. Yeah, not
Yeah,
every
that
single
gets.
plan will pay this.
Got it. Got it. And from a sort of financial bottom line, if you are a physical therapy or you're a therapy office and you're in network with a lot of different insurance companies, what is the potential money left on the table by not using remote therapeutic monitoring? Do you have any data on that?
Yeah, so one of the things we do, if anybody ever books a demo with us, is we have a calculator where we can put in all of the whole payer mix, the total number of active patients, and then run through different scenarios of what money is basically to be made with RTM. And to drill even more specifically into your question, though, for those first two codes, like I mentioned, there's no extra work for what you would be doing. For the second two codes, there would be that one live call, which, you know, not some people do call their patients as it is now, but not everybody does that. So that would be an extra step. And that's something to consider when you're looking at RTM. And that's one thing we'll typically do is we'll look at just the first two codes versus all four codes and what the different numbers could be, because then it's the difference between not changing your process at all versus changing your process some to get those extra two codes. But in general, what we see if somebody incorporates RTM is that they'll hit the first three codes, The fourth code with the additional 20 minutes of RTM services, it's not that common that you'll do a full 40 minutes of RTM services for one patient over the month. So typically we exclude that from our calculation. So with those first three codes, you're looking at about $125 per patient per month that is basically available to be captured by implementing RTM.
Okay, so if you're seeing, I don't know, if you have a bigger-ish practice, maybe you're seeing 500 patients a month. I mean, I don't know. I'm just making that number up. So you could be talking about leaving a considerable amount of money on the table that doesn't take too much of the clinician's time. Because I'm sure, like, do you hear pushback from clinicians of like, oh, great, it's one more thing I have to do?
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the strategy and the structure of the organization. And what I mean by that is, like, if it's, let's say it's a small practice, three, four PTs, that's, not going to be too disruptive because, first of all, assuming you're already creating a home exercise program, you're just going to need to use a system that tracks it. That covers the first two codes. And then for the second two codes, the one live call piece, one thing that we haven't talked about yet is, this is an added step, but then let's say somebody has a cancellation. Now that person could be making some calls during that slot and generating revenue at a time where they usually would not have generated revenue. And that's how those types of clinics will typically do this. Whereas with a big clinic where, like, let's say it's like a five location practice, like 25 PTs or something like that, at a certain point, what most of our groups do that are in that range is they'll just have one pinpoint RTM person who's the RTM manager for the whole practice. And then that person will do the calls for all the patients in the practice. That person will do the check-ins for everybody. That person will manage the billing for everybody. So that way, all the providers are doing is creating a home program just like they were in the past, but then the whole clinic is capturing all of the RTM revenue. So that's another option.
And does that one pinpoint person, do they have to be a physical therapist?
They have to be a PT or a PTA to do the call.
Got it. Yes. Just making sure so that if people are tuning in, they're not like, oh, I'll just hire some, an admin to make all these calls, because then you wouldn't be able to bill because it's not the PT or PTA doing the actual work.
Right. And one other thing is, we have an option on our end where we call it the full service option, where basically we have a PTA who is from our team who we basically assign to the clinic to do that, provide the RTM services. So that's another model that some people will go with, depending on how the clinic works, how they like the cancellation rate, the operational workflow, things like that. But again, typically what we'll do is on our first demo call or first training session, basically run through the options. More so asking a bunch of questions to the clinic to see what we would recommend based on how they're already operating. Because, you're hitting the nail on the head. The more friction that we get from the providers or really anybody, the less likely this is to be successful.
Right. You do need buy-in. You need buy-in from your owner, your management, and then all the way down to your staff physical therapist or physical therapist assistants. Otherwise, I can only imagine it just all falls apart.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So, what did we miss? What big points did we not hit when concerning remote therapeutic monitoring?
Yeah, we hit a lot of them with the different models of how you can do it, the different strategies of either going for two codes or all four codes, of having one pinpoint RTM person or having everybody kind of manage it to the for themselves. I think, again, I think my biggest recommendation, we work with over 300 clinic organizations who have all these different types of strategies on all these different types of systems. And, we're happy to be a resource, even if it's not with us in terms of like what strategy we think would work best. But again, I would go back to when you asked the perfect question, which is where does this fail? And those two things that I mentioned, big gap between who's eligible and who's enrolled. And then big gap between what codes are eligible to be billed and what's actually submitted. Make sure that there's not a gap for either of those two.
Right, because then will they get denied?
It's not as much that they'll get denied as much as you're not going to be billing out everything that you could. Like you're going to
Got
have
it.
some patients that aren't either, if they're not enrolled, then they're never going to be have their codes be marked as eligible to be billed. Or if the codes are not submitted, then you did all the work without ever actually billing the code.
Right. Well, obviously, yeah, that's problematic. Okay, so I think that was a really good recap of remote therapeutic monitoring, and I feel like I've learned a lot because I've heard the term. I have a cash practice, so I'm not, billing insurance companies. So I think this seems to me like a really, from a business standpoint, seems like it makes sense. And from the patient standpoint, I think it makes sense too, because it then shows that you're in, like you're in with the patient, you're checking in on them, you know what they're doing when they come in for their visits, you've kind of got the data to back up that you're paying attention. So I would imagine you have some better patient interactions as well.
And I mean, that's, the whole reason for these codes in the first place is the effect that this type of engagement with patients has on patient outcomes, patient retention, and things like that. So, most people, obviously, when they're gauging and measuring ROI with implementing RTM, they're going to be looking at how much revenue they're generating from RTM. But another thing to remember is that when you're implementing these types of services for a patient, it's going to impact your dropout rate. It's going to impact your average visit count as a result. So those are other things to be thinking about because, these types of services, the whole reason that they are incentivized for providers is for those other factors to keep people in PT, get people to successful outcomes.
Right, and kind of get them through their full plan of care versus dropping out at some point in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know how big a problem of patient dropout is in
Right.
PT.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk a little bit more about PT Wired. You alluded to a couple of the things that you guys do, but how do you fit in to patient engagement to remote therapeutic monitoring?
Yeah, so PT Wired, we're 100% custom branded mobile app for PT practices. So basically what we do is we will build a custom mobile app for iOS, Android. For example, for you would get your own, Karen Litsey physical therapy app in the App Store, the Google Play Store, web. The patient never sees the PT Wired name at all. So the idea to the patient is to, that you guys went out, built your own app. That's kind of the idea we're trying to give. The app has home exercise programs. It has HIPAA compliant messaging, so you can message the patient in between visits, track their progress. And then everything, we have a provider dashboard where you not only create the home programs, but it also will automatically track all the RTM requirements. So that's everything from the patient data point collection to the provider side. We have a time tracker that automatically will look at what you're doing. And if it's RTM eligible, it'll count the time. It'll, add that all up over the course of the month. It'll flag it as ready for billing if you meet that 20-minute requirement with the one live call. So basically trying to take all of the thinking work out of what's RTM eligible, what are the requirements, where do I stand off of the PT's plate, and then doing that automatically and just letting you know when you're ready to bill a code.
That makes a lot of sense. So it's essentially it's going to track a lot of the things so that you don't have to like be writing it down or putting it into a spreadsheet that could be a little clunky or things like that. Yeah.
We have a dashboard that basically will have all of the RTM patients listed. It'll break them down by if they are eligible to be billed, if they're on track for billing, if they're not on track for billing, as well as a report section where you can run reports on the codes you've billed, how each provider is in terms of generating RTM code revenue, how each provider is in terms of their patients being engaged, amongst many other reporting statistics.
Cool. And you're not doing the actual billing.
Correct. We don't do the billing.
Correct. Yeah. Just want to make that clear so that if people go on, they're like, wait, he said they did the billing. So you're not doing the billing. That goes through the individual clinic's billing system, whatever that may be.
Yeah, we let you know when you can bill, and we give you all the supporting documentation that you need to bill. For some EMR systems, we even have a code that you can copy and paste into them, which will auto-populate the billing information. But we don't even, but yeah, we don't actually bill it.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's important to say because I don't want people to be confused when and if they go to your website and they're like, wait a second, he said they billed. You don't. You help,
Yeah.
you will help track it, but you won't bill it.
Exactly. Yeah, thanks for
Perfect.
clarifying that and
Yeah.
sparing us those angry comments.
Exactly, exactly. All right, well, where can people find more information about PT Wired if they're interested? And you if they have specific questions?
Sure. Yeah. PTWired.com. That's PTWIRED.com. We've got a ton of information there about what our system does, as well as just RTM in general. And like I said, we're happy to be a resource, even if it's not using our system in terms of what strategy would work well, how to implement RTM. So you can reach out to us there. And we have, a little chatbot even there. If you have a question on RTM, even if you don't want to commit to a full demo, you can hit us up there. And yeah, we're happy to help.
Perfect. All right. Well, is there anything we missed, or what do you want? And or if there is something you want the listeners to walk away with, what is it?
Yeah, I would just say, don't leave money on the table, because a lot of you guys are doing things that are already meeting the requirements for these codes, and you have been doing them for years. And the longer that you wait to take a look at RTM, the more money that you're going to be leaving on the table doing the services that are literally the requirements of these codes anyways. So
Right.
I know people are always, a bit hesitant to change because everybody's so busy as it is, and I get it. But that's just another thing to think about is it's for some of these codes, you're not actually changing what you're doing. It's just educating yourself on the code and then making sure it gets submitted.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. Okay. Now, are you on social media? Are you guys on social media?
Yep. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram and Twitter, all at just PT Wired, PTWIRED. You can find us everywhere there.
Perfect. And we'll have links to all the social media and the website in our show notes. So regardless of where you're listening or watching, if you're on YouTube, you can just go in the show notes and you have a free gift for the listeners, 25% off. Is that right?
Yep. So if you sign up using the code, which one? I think we created a shortened one. We could just say Karen, let's see. If you sign up for a demo and use that as the referral code, then it's 25% off the first 4 months. If you do end
Amazing.
up signing up, obviously that's not, you can book a demo, there's no commitment there, but
Right.
that's if you do end up signing up after that.
Perfect. All right. So 25% off for the first 4 months. You can use my name, Karen Litzy. That's perfect. Okay, Vikram, the last question is one I ask everyone on the podcast, and that's knowing where you are now in your life and career, what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
Yeah, I knew this one was coming from listening to your other episodes, and it's funny when I first was thinking about this, the first thing that came to mind, I got a hip surgery when I was that age, and I would have told myself, just go to PT, don't get the hip
Oh my God, I love it.
surgery. Yeah, but funny enough, that experience is what led me to ultimately start PT Wired in the first place. So it's kind of a catch 22, but I think either way, I probably would have ended up in doing it anyways from going to PT. So that's what I'd tell myself. Don't get the surgery, go to PT.
I love it. PT first. That's what choose PT. That's what the APTA is all about. So thank you so much for saying that, Vikram. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. This was really, really informative, and I'm really grateful.
Yeah, thank you again so much for having me, Karen. Really
You're
appreciate it.
at any time. And everyone, thanks so much for tuning in. Have a great couple of days and stay healthy, wealthy, and smart. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to leave us your questions and comments at podcast.healthywealthysmart.com.